I hope to cover the rest of chapter 7 and get into chapter 8 in just 45 minutes. You laugh. I hope we can do this. With the help of the Lord, we will. Verse 11 again of chapter 7. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priest. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, and your word sometimes seems contradictory. But it is not. It is true and it is consistent. It is our lack of understanding and ability to comprehend today, even as it was for our brothers and sisters amongst the Hebrews. Just as you gave them understanding, give us understanding to see this wonderful priesthood. And we thank you for it, Lord, and help us to see the difference it makes in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now again, we have to understand this in light of being a Hebrew. As I said in the prayer, it's hard for us to understand. When Moses said nothing about a priest coming from Judah, you've got Jesus, who is clearly of the line of Judah. This was hard for these Hebrews to understand. Not only because the law said it, they saw the law applied. They saw the law applied in a person from Judah. They saw somebody who was a Jew who was cursed by God for trying to do something that only the priest was ordained to do. You know who that person was? He was a king. His name was Uzzah. I won't take the time to turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 18. But Uzzah went into the sanctuary to burn incense unto the Lord. This was forbidden. It was only to be done by a Levite, by a priest. And this was something contrary to the law. And guess what God did to him? God cursed him with leprosy for the rest of his life. So being a Jew and understanding the law, seeing this example, wouldn't you be puzzled? Perhaps you're puzzled as I speak here today. Uzzah cursed by God. Not only that, no one who was cursed was ever allowed, even if he were a Levite, to serve in the sanctuary. Even if you were a Levite and you had an imperfection of any kind in your skin or in your body, you were not allowed to serve. Amazing that God chose someone who was cursed, Jesus. For the scripture says in the Old Testament, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree. Now, you knowing all this, you're sitting there and saying, now, Jesus is a high priest? Come on. Cursed, not from Levi? How can this be? The whole system, let's kick it up a notch to why this was a problem. Their whole system of worship was centered around the Levitical priesthood. The Levites were the choir. The Levites were those who served the people. The Levites were the ones who were their connection with God. No Levite, no connection with God. No Levite, no worship, no worship. You're lost. The question of the legitimacy of the priesthood of Jesus Christ was totally, astronomically, indescribably important to those people, for their whole system of worship was at stake. Think about you and I. If Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, the Messiah, and all that Scripture says He was, our worship would be gone. Our connection would be gone, right? That's how it was within. And that's why we must answer the question. And that's why the author of Hebrews must answer the question and took so much time in this, so much detail. How could there be a change of the Levitical priesthood from Levi to Jesus, from the Levitical system to Melchizedek? How could this be? The answer is simple. And this is what the author has been telling us. And this is what all these words and sentences and chapters are about. I ask God, give me something to crystallize it. How could it be this change? And here's the message. The priesthood of Jesus Christ is the archetype that transcends and supersedes the Levitical priesthood. Now you say, well, that's a mouthful. That doesn't sound so simple. I'll say it again to you. The priesthood of Jesus is the archetype that transcends and supersedes the priesthood of Aaron and the Levites. Three words summarize this whole issue. Archetype, transcend, and supersede. Three power-packed words that we're going to unpack today. And if you understand that Jesus Christ is the archetype and that He transcends and supersedes the Levitical priesthood, you can understand all that is written here about the priesthood and why the change could be possible. Change is hard. Many of us believed things for years that were wrong, and it was hard to change. So you can identify with these people. What does these words mean? What do these words mean? Anybody know what archetype means? Those of you who are students, you might see this on an SAT one day. Anybody know what archetype means? Yes. The main copy. Ah, you're close. An archetype is the original pattern or model after which all things of the same type are representations are copies of, but are inferior. I know that's a mouthful too. That comes from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I'll go it again. I think our young man had it right. Archetype is the original copy, but it's not a copy. That's the difference. It's not a copy. It is the original. It is the original plan. It is the original pattern after which all is modeled after, but is inferior. Nothing is superior or can replace the archetype. It is the original. Anybody know what the word transcend means? To transcend. It means to be prior to and go beyond the limits. It means to be prior to, but not just prior to go beyond the limits of what was or what is. Transcend. The priesthood of Jesus Christ, the Melchizedek priesthood, transcends. That is, it is prior to the Levitical priesthood and goes beyond the limits of the Levitical priesthood. What does supersede mean? It means to take the place of something that is inferior. To take the place, supersede means to take the place of something that is inferior. When you put that all together, the priesthood of Melchizedek and any priest in that order, which Jesus is, he is not Melchizedek, but he is like Melchizedek. Melchizedek and the priesthood was the archetype, the pattern, the original one, after which all the other priesthoods, even the Levitical, was an inferior model of, a type of, a shadow. The Melchizedek priesthood transcends in that it was prior to. Genesis 14 is prior to Exodus and Deuteronomy, the law. It is prior to and goes beyond the Levitical priesthood. Why? How do we know that? We've already covered in chapter 6 and in 7 that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And in Abraham was Levi and Aaron in his loins. And they paid homage to, and they gave tithes to, recognizing Melchizedek as being superior to Abraham and to his seed. Therefore, he transcended them. He was prior to Levi and goes beyond Levi. Melchizedek and priesthood and summarized in Jesus, coming to a fulfillment in Jesus, takes the place of something that was inferior to the Levitical priesthood. And the author here goes to great detail and great extent and logic to show that the priesthood of Melchizedek, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, is the archetype that transcends and supersedes the Melchizedek priesthood. If you can understand those three words and apply to everything you read here about the priesthood, you got it. That's why I can cover these chapters so quickly. It's the key. It's the key. Look at verse 15. As he speaks to the people, he writes to them after in verses 12 and 13 and 14, talking about a change in the law and that there's nothing said about the tribe of Judah as being priests. Verse 15, what we have said is even more clear. I hope it is getting more clear for you. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, speaking of Jesus now, if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of regulation, not on the basis of the law, for the law clearly said, boom, 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 it's got to be Levi, it's got to be a descendant of Aaron, etc., etc., he's got to be perfect, blah, 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 blah. If somebody appears, not on the basis of a regulation, as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life, what transcends the life of a man of the tribe of Levi, of Aaron? Does he transcend? Is he prior to and goes beyond the limits of? No, he has a limited life. But this one has the power of an indestructible life. And because his life is indestructible, it is declared, therefore, you are a priest, in verse 17, forever in the order of Melchizedek. Why forever? Because he has an indestructible life. Levites have a destructible life. They are mortal. This priest is immortal. For like Melchizedek, there is no record of ancestry or genealogy. That doesn't count. That doesn't matter. What matters is the indestructible life. You understand this? He's saying, if one appears, Jesus appeared, who has an indestructible life, in the order of Melchizedek, He's the archetype. He's the original model. He's the model that doesn't get old. The model that everything else, even the Levites, were patterned after, but are inferior to. He transcends them because he was before them and he'll be after them. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He also supersedes them because he's replacing something inferior. Are you with me? That they're just copies. Notice how he put it in chapter 8 in verse 5. Speaking of the Levites who serve, verse 5, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. They too are copies, for they were created in the image of the high priest, right? Genesis chapter 1, and God created Adam in his image and likeness, but he's still a copy. Are you with me? The archetype is Christ. And he is a copy, and he's in there serving in a sanctuary that is a copy. And what is the archetype of the sanctuary? Heaven. Are you getting this? Do you see the archetype? Do you see he refers to all this? These are copies. This is not the original. Which would you rather have? The original, the archetype, Mona Lisa, or a $10 copy that you can buy at a flea market? What a comparison. But it's true. It is true. He's showing them the superiority of the priesthood of Jesus Christ, who is after the order of Melchizedek, and the Melchizedek order is the archetype. That was thousands of years, or hundreds anyway, maybe 1,500 years before there ever was a Levite. Maybe my numbers are wrong, but it's a lot of years, y'all. based on indestructible life. Let's move on quickly because I've got to finish this chapter and go into another. Verses 18 and 19. The former regulation is set aside. The former law about the priesthood and about the sanctuary and the temple is set aside because it was weak and useless. My wife asked me this week, well, honey, why didn't God just continue the Melchizedek and priesthood and just have that all along, not even fool with that, the Levites? And the answer is this, Galatians 3 and verse 19. God added the law because of transgressions, because of sin. I submit to you that the Melchizedekan priesthood was not only in Genesis 14 with Moses, but whoever that was in the order of the priesthood that was in the garden. I submit to you that what we're talking about when we say the Melchizedek and priesthood, we're talking about the priesthood of God. I submit to you that God was priest in the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden was a sanctuary. Why is it when they made the copy, they had fruit on the curtains, palm branches and pomegranates? You look at the temple, it's arrayed as a garden. It's decorated as a garden. I submit to you that Adam, priest, was God. But when Adam sinned, he was separated from his priest and his God. And the law was added because of sin. The law was added to show man how sinful he is. The law even the law that involved the sacrifices and the Levitical system, was added to show man that he was separated from God. For even the high priest could only go in to the Holy of Holies, the dwelling of God, once a year. That the Levitical system in the law was to show them over and over in a cycle of sin and blood, blood and sin and blood, blood and sin, to help them understand that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And who ministered that? The Levites, by virtue of the law, to show us sin and ultimately to lead us to Christ. Are you with me? Are you understanding why the law was added? But the law was weak. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats that were required in the law, that was required to be administered by a Levite and the high priest by a son of Aaron only, could not take away sin. And that it had to be transcended. We needed something that was prior to this system, and something that goes beyond, that just bursts the limits of the law and of that priesthood, and something that would come and supersede. That means replace that which was weak, that which was not working, with something superior. Are you understanding the relationship between archetype, transcend, and supersede in all of this? Because God wanted us to see that we needed Christ. Sin, blood, covered but not removed. Still not back to where the priest, God, and the people could come and stand and be accepted and embraced by him. The law couldn't do it. There needed to be an appearance, a revelation of the archetype in the order of Melchizedek. Notice verse 18. Let's read it again after I've explained that. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced, by which we draw near to God. That's what it's about. Drawing near to God. Being made right through justification of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. And it was not without an oath. This is what we're talking about, this. The archetype. The transcendence of. And the superseding of. Was by an oath. That's what it means when it says, and it was not without an oath. This was an oath. Why an oath? Because God condescends to us with oath because he knows that people are liars. And even if you say you're going to do it, you don't have the ability to. So he speaks in terms of human weakness. Okay, you can't keep the law. The law is weak. So I'm bringing up an oath, which is more powerful than the law, because you can't do it. And by an oath, I declare I will do it. On my life, I will do it. That is more powerful than a law that you can't do. You get the law oath thing, and why the oath is more, as they say, more better than a law that has weak human beings administering a system that can only cover sin and not get rid of it, and by people who die generation after generation. You got to kind of keep track of their ancestry. Where are you a son of Aaron? And all that controversy and all that stuff. This is something that's superior, folks. He's telling them, this is the original. This transcends all of that. I know it's hard for you to understand as a Jew, as all your life, but this is better. You got better hope, better system, where we could draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others become priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, Psalm 110, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. This doesn't change. See, the law changes because we are weak. The problem's with us because of sin. But the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. This isn't changing. Why? Because it was before and it will be forever, for it transcends. And it is superseding something that's weak and it's not working. God gave us a law for the people to become frustrated. This isn't working. Paul said, who will deliver me? Romans 7, he said, the law was there and it slew me. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ. The high priest cannot deliver, but this high priest by an oath. Oh, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Verse 22, because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee. Oh, it's guaranteed. We're going to come back to that. He has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. They died. But because Jesus lives forever, isn't that better? He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely. And as the King James says, to the uttermost, those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede. He's there in heaven 24/7. He doesn't need to catch his breath. He won't die. He's there interceding for you, praying for us, helping us as we come to his throne of grace. Verse 26, such a high priest meets our need. Oh, he's able, more than able. One who's holy and blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins, because he was a sinner. And then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all. And when he offered himself, for the law appoints as high priest men who are weak. But the oath, see, this is not appointed by law, but by the oath of God. But the oath which came after the law appointed the son. See, they were sons of Aaron. But he is the son of who? God. Which is greater? You want to be a son of Aaron or a son of God? Who has been made perfect forever. The point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, the archetype, not the copy. Set up by the Lord, not by man. And every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. And so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest. Mm-mm. No, because he's not of Aaron. For there are already men who offer gifts prescribed by the law. As he wrote this, as the author wrote this, the Levitical system was still going on. But there was only a matter of years till the whole thing was going to be wiped out. Why? Because the temple where they served was going to be destroyed. He's trying to get them ready, folks. He's trying to shift them from men who died, who are sinners, to one who has an indestructible life and who is perfect and who's always interceding, not just getting tired. Well, I got to go to sleep tonight. I can't intercede for y'all tonight. I got to get my rest. No, day and night. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Verse 4. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, For there are earthly men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy. Copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according, notice, to the pattern. What is pattern? Archetype. Archetype. Shown you on the mountain. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one. And we'll get into that next week. And it is founded upon better promises. Archetype transcends, supersedes. With those three words, it's a key. And it's talking about the God priest. Not the Aaronic priest, not the Levitical priest, but the God priest who has an indestructible life, who intercedes for us day and night, who is there as a guarantee of our salvation. It ought to encourage us. It ought to give us strength and boldness to come before his throne to find grace and help in a time of need. We don't have a priest who dies, but a priest who has an indestructible life. And through him, we're accepted and embraced. And through him, we have life now and forevermore. Praise God for our God priest, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the encouragement, which is Jesus. Lord, we are of the seed of Abraham by faith. And that seed by faith has, even as Abraham had, Melchizedek, the Melchizedek, as our high priest. And we worship you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you so much, for we have all things in you. Help us to live in boldness. Help us not to be afraid of even death. For he who believes in you, though he dies, he shall live. Let us not be afraid of men, demons, of things created. You are our God, and you are in control of everything. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we rejoice in you. Amen.